This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We start with the Royals, who got their first series win of the season. We're going to talk more about what happened against Baltimore in just a bit. They do begin another series tonight, part of this homestand at Kauffman Stadium against the Minnesota Twins. 6:40, first pitch. Ferns on Deck show right here at 5:30 on 96.5. The Fan. Michael Lorenzen going up against Woods Richardson. Simeon Woods Richardson of the Minnesota Twins.
I'll be making my first pick on Vern's on Deck show today. I got to try to get in the black. I think you got a big hit early.
We did.
So I got a lot of catching up to do as it is. So we'll see how it goes from there. Next up on What's Trending, the men's national championship game is tonight. Houston versus Florida. The women's wrapped up yesterday with UConn taking home their national championship game over South Carolina. That makes them the most successful college basketball program in aggregate of all time. Gino Auriemma, obviously the single greatest either side coach based on just winning alone in either side. But yeah, the men's game tonight, we'll talk more about who we got in that game tonight. Duke absolutely blew it, obviously, to go there. Florida, I felt pretty good about them in the SEC tournament. They've continued to ride their high. I don't know if a lot of people had Houston, Florida, but certainly a lot of top-seeded teams advancing pretty far.
Elsewhere, back to baseball. How about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and the Blue Jays after all the talk about overnight, not negotiating during the season? Well, if the money's right, the money's right. They're in agreement reportedly on a 14-year, $500 million contract extension that starts in 2026, and there's no deferrals. So Vlad Jr. is not waiting to get that money. Jeff Passan, I believe, was first to report overnight the 14-year, $500 million deal for Vladdy Jr.
So what's that, like $35 million per year? That actually feels...
No deferrals, man.
No deferrals is huge. That's probably why he was willing to take... Like, there was rumors that he was going to try to get $600, but if they're going to give him every single cent as he earns it...
Just think about that.
Earn a lot more money from your money that way.
He knows now, guaranteed, he's got a half a bill.
I can't
half
even
a bill.
I can't
half
even
a bill
imagine
coming his way.
I can't even imagine what life is like knowing for a 100% guarantee, unless a meteor hits the earth, you're getting $500 million. It's nuts. Next up on What's Trending, MU landing UCLA transfer guard Sebastian Mack, a 10-point-per-game player for UCLA this year. Most scouts say he's a pretty good fit for them. Averaged 13 almost per game in his freshman season at UCLA. He'll head over to Missouri. Also, Flory Badunga announced over the weekend he will be heading back to the University of Kansas.
Big time.
It was a pretty good get back for Kansas. There was some flirting with a couple of other schools from the sounds of it. One big one, obviously, in contest over this weekend. I honestly don't think they could really afford to lose him and build out a roster that made sense. Now, Peterson and Flory and a couple of others seem to be a good start to a roster.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about finding another center or anything like that. That was definitely great news if you were a KU fan over the weekend. Next on What's Trending, we'll stick with collegiate sports a little bit. Some news with Augusta National later on this week, of course, will be the Masters. But Carla Bernat Escuder, who's a K-State senior, won the Augusta National Women's Amateur over the weekend as well. So congratulations to her.
Yeah, obviously, that's cool. They only recently started doing the women's amateur there as well. So good for her for winning it. It's got to be cool to play there just in general. I think still my favorite Masters story is the guy that like 5 or 6 years ago just showed up to the course because he thought his practice round thing got him in the tournament. He showed up with his walking bag. You're like, oh, sir, no, you don't get to play. You can watch a little bit. I do think for the people going to the practice round today, there's some weather. So there might be some people who don't get to go. Now, I will say the Masters always, if you under any circumstances get rained out, they always offer you the next year no matter what. So like you can only you gotta pay for the plane.
I mean, that's nice, but I gotta rent the hotel Airbnb again. I've gotta pay for the flight again. You're right. It's great that they give you the ticket for the next year, but boy.
Still better than nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. Next up on What's Trending, Sporting Kansas City gets their first win in over 200 days in the very first match without Peter Vermees, 2-0 over St. Louis FC, the rival across the state. Good for them to getting back on track. Most of the experts are saying they were playing a completely different style on offense. Don't know if that'll last the rest of the season, but this is how interim coaches work. You get out the messaging that's not working anymore, you change it up for a little bit, and they immediately get the 2-0 win. If the interim coach wants to become permanent coach, he's going to need to win a lot more games besides that. But Sporting gets their first win in over 200 days.
Yeah, a little bit of reset. Everybody can take a deep breath there a little bit and move forward within the Sporting KC organization. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. You ever have a moment where you just felt like, man, you're getting old? You ever had that? Like you were talking about your kids and the crazy Saturday you had with your son.
I've had some old moments. It happens.
So I actually think this one now is the number one moment of like, this is pathetic. Getting older.
You felt pathetic? You're not even 35 years old yet.
And this is still impacting me today. Okay. That's why.
So this happened when? Yesterday?
This happened yesterday. Okay. I was doing laundry, right? I was moving sheets into the dryer. And a few other things.
Glad you're cleaning your sheets.
I try to do that, especially with the dog, with the allergies, I have to. So, like I would have done 100 times, move the sheets into the dryer, quickly bend down, quickly pick back up, about to press the start button of the dryer, and my back.
Backs is the oldest man injury.
My back, it didn't pop or anything, but sharp pain. It hurt to stand. I thought I wasn't going to be able to get out of bed this morning. I'm like this sitting in this chair. It sucks.
You pulled your back changing laundry.
I know. It's pathetic. And I've been going to the gym and stuff too. So I'm like, did I hurt it at the gym? Because you guys know I've actually more than a New Year's resolution. I've made it to April. We're still going. I enjoy going.
Are you lifting the weights now?
I just started, but not yesterday. Not yesterday. Yesterday was just treadmill. So I don't think it was from weights, but how pathetic is that? And today my back is so stiff still. And I just took some Aleve not too long ago in this chair. It's not, I can't bend down very well. I'm 34. I'm like, this is what happens. So this is the number one, I'm getting old moment. And it's pathetic.
I'll be honest,
honestly,
I
know text line. You can relate.
I have not suffered from back problems, but from what I learned, dude, you better pray.
Yeah.
You better pray. This is not a consistent problem because back problems.
Never had a problem until now.
Back problems, that's the worst kind of problems you have. I got knee problems. I obviously have foot problems. Back problems, that's the last one I think you want to have. You strained your back.
I know.
Getting stuff out of the dryer. Someone said, wait till you strain your back sneezing. That would be better.
No, that's worse.
Sneezing, that's worse. More forceful.
Sneezing's worse, though.
Gently.
Sneezing's worse because you could just be sitting having lunch with a friend and you sneeze and your back flares up. But honestly, I was legit. When I went to bed last night, I was like, there's a chance that I can't get out of bed this morning. Because one of my uncles has had back problems before where like he literally can't get out of bed. And so I'm like, oh no.
I think
it's going to be fine in like 2 days. I can already, like last night I couldn't walk. So it's I walked
so
up
you
the stairs
sat
today.
On a heating pad for the entire day. You did?
Yep.
Little rice, you know? Rice. Rest, ice.
Oh, I was like, elevate. I wasn't following. Sorry. Yeah.
The rice method.
Aleve or Advil and some heating pad. But yeah, it's pathetic.
Someone said they're 37 and at 32 is when it started. It didn't go away, dude. Said it didn't go away. So like you have to worry that you are now going to have back problems. You got to take care of this one. Don't run into any kind of problem. You got to take a few days off from the gym.
Yeah, no, I mean,
got to make sure you're okay.
Yeah, no, I know. If I do have to bend down, I'm doing a much slower action than I would normally trying to throw stuff in the dryer or something. So that was just pathetic. Honestly,
I still think sneezing would be more excusable. It's a violent action, depending on how you, as the text, as Twitch put it, that's a violent action. That's like, you're doing something.
I don't know, man. Yeah. Text line. At least a lot.
The
a
text
lot
line's full of people talking about how they got hurt.
Someone says they're 37. 32 is when the back pain started.
913. I tweaked my back eating Chinese food. Wait, from the 816.
That doesn't make sense. What?
I can, maybe they lifted what their fork weird, I guess.
What
I don't
were
know.
You doing?
Bent over to get a bite.
Oof.
Who knows, man? I haven't had back problems. I gotta
That's
be
good.
I got enough lower.
I'm hoping
body
this is just a random. I'm hoping this is just a just truly wrong. Just the wrong spot, wrong tweak. What at the wrong time, kind of thing.
And I was lifting like these heavy stage pieces all weekend that our studio uses for one of the dances. So like I was doing nothing but heavy lifting the entire weekend. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna need this. My foot started to hurt a little bit, but the back felt okay.
The worst, honestly, was driving into work today.
Oh,
sitting in the car. That was actually the worst part.
Yeah,
that felt the worst.
Sat down. Yeah.
So anyway, I'll let you know. I think it's just, I think it, it'll hopefully just be a one-time thing.
Someone pointed out, maybe you can ask Michael Massey. You know, he's learned to control his
go
back
in the
issues.
Clubhouse and find out the stretches
he does, like,
that he does.
And stuff. He does like, yeah, he does like some very specific stretches.
At least his is due to playing baseball. Mine was putting something in the dryer. You think I'm going to go in the clubhouse and be like, hey, Massey, by the way, I know you have some back problems.
Some advice.
Hey, similar to you, I have back problems all of a sudden, you know? So now I'm hoping
everyone's
it's a one
saying, take care of your back, take care of your
back. It's a one-time thing. We'll see. I'll let you know. But anyway, let's talk some Royals baseball. They get the first series win of the year, which anytime you just get the first one out of the way, I think everybody takes a little pause, deep breath as well. All right, stop wondering, when are they going to get the first series win? They get it against Baltimore. The city continues to own the city of Baltimore, which is fun as well. But out of that, you got Chris Bubich in his second outing, who is looking as good as any pitcher in baseball two times through the rotation. It's two times, but as good as any pitcher in
baseball.
That's
pretty much the most anyone's pitched, in fairness. Yeah. Pretty much everyone will be coming around on the third time now.
Think about what he's... I mean, his ERA is like a 0.7 for starters. He's got like 18 strikeouts or so. His whiff rate yesterday was great again. He's not doing it against...
16 strikeouts.
As we said, he's not doing it against the Marlins in some lineup where nobody can name anybody. This was against an Orioles team that was in the postseason that still has Adley Rutschman in the lineup and Gunnar Henderson in the lineup. Like, and Cedric Mullins, who's off to a good start with the Orioles. Like, this is a legit lineup, and he looks awesome.
I don't want to change, as I had mentioned earlier in the show, I don't want to change my expectations yet. But honestly, I'd be lying to you, Gold, if I didn't think that I'll change them pretty quick. Like, I had high hopes for him anyway. I think it was reasonable to put expectations on Chris Bubich because I think a lot of pitchers, like Seth Lugo and others across the league, have determined a way to get these outs coming out of the bullpen and then just extrapolated that and figured out, you know what? I actually can just take this approach to an everyday start. He's walking no one. He has 3 walks and 2 starts. He has 16 strikeouts in those 2 starts. And if he's going to get that kind of whiff rate, well, then it doesn't matter. And here's why I'm telling you I'd be willing to change my expectations on him pretty quick. I'm going to give you the rest of the month's opponents for Chris Bubich coming up. And then we can talk even more about how awesome he's looked through the first 2 starts. And you and I will ask JJ Piccolo about it tomorrow, so he'll join the show tomorrow at 10:30. Here are the people he's going to have to go through in order to earn the, like, let's throw out whatever expectations we had to start the season out the window and instead start looking at him like a top 2 starter in the rotation. He'll have to face the Twins this week. Or I'm sorry, the Guardians. He'll be at the end. The Twins, he just pitched. So he'll get the Guardians on the road, the Yankees on the road, the Tigers on the road, and the Astros. That's what he'll get for the rest of the month. If he gets through that successfully, not even like what he's looked like in these first 2 games, but if he navigates that successfully, well, then we have to throw all the old expectations out the window and start talking about maybe what his pre-draft expectations were or when he was coming up through the system. And I want to, like, when we talk about, like, ceiling, I do think it's important to note that Chris Bubich was pitcher number 2 that they were in love with behind Brady Singer when all of those pitchers were coming up together. The guy they went to second, the guy they trusted the most, used the most, and tried to make worse the most was Chris Bubich. Before Daniel Lynch, before Coar, before all the ones that failed, they went to, and Lynch has actually been really good in the bullpen.
He's still got the scoreless stretch going, right?
Yeah, he's bordering on the Royals record of consecutive scoreless innings. He only needs, I'd have to look it up, but he only needs like a handful less or less in order to break it. But the way they're going to use him, he was thought of as a middle of the order rotation guy. I would have been fine if he was like a good 4-5 this year. if they get the upper end, well, then the rotation's kind of got like limitless potential.
Well, that's how you're able to, you know, if you think, and or so, as we said, for the positive and the negative, it's early, but if you think there's a chance Waka regresses a little bit towards the mean, okay, well, how do you make up for that if your offense is also not going to improve the way you hoped it would? Well, then somebody else in the rotation has to step up. Could that be Chris Bubich? There's promising signs of that. The bullpen already, I think, has shown us that the bullpen is going to be better. I understand Urseg yesterday, but like for the most part, Urseg, Harvey, and Estevez have been freaking great in the bullpen for this team already. So, and they didn't have three guys that you could trust and rely on a year ago. So it's all a positive right now for Chris Bubich in this rotation. I don't want to act like this is how he's going to be, you know, for the entire season or something. But if he pitches another 3 to 4 outings, you were going through the schedule, another 3 or 4 outings.
Those are serious opponents at Yankee Stadium.
Ooh. Three to four more outings in his ERA, and it's even is 0.7. Okay. That's not realistic, but if it's under 2.3 or something, you know, or 2.5 for that matter, three more outings, then we have to really start wondering, can he do this? I know there's an innings limitation coming for him this year, but later on in the year, there's some starts they can skip if they have to try to get him further into August and September if he's going to be this dominant of a pitcher for them. But he's been, other than maybe Michael Garcia, the biggest revelation, if there ever was one, on April 7th of the season.
What do you mean? 9 games into the season?
Again, I'm trying to talk about this stuff, but also how early it is.
I just like, let's just say he ends up being like a really solid 3, like a middle of the pack 3 starter for what most MLB teams get. And that's aiming low based on the current, the current start to the season for Chris Bubich. Okay, well, Cole Reagans is still starting like an ace. Cool. Lugo's been fine. Like, the second inning's got him a little bit, but his ERA's still right around 3. Waka struggled a little bit, but, like, again, go back to the rotation. Forget Lorenzen for a minute. We'd all kind of hope that eventually Marsh would probably take that spot. He had a setback over the weekend, so, like, maybe he's a little further out before. Lorenzen wasn't bad in his first start. Not to say he was good, but, like, you know, he wasn't, you know, bad in his first start. They would have a chance. If Chris Bubich ends up being a star, they would have an argument for best rotation in baseball. If he ends up being pretty good, like an average 3, like we talk about, well, then they're still going to be like firmly in the top 5, even if Waka takes a slight step back, or even if Lugo takes a small step back. I mean, they can really be dominant on that end. And that's before, and I think we'll probably get to it more tomorrow, before we talk about the fact that maybe they have a dominant back end of the bullpen.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that looks like a very real thing for them. The other part of this opening series win, not that anybody should have been overly concerned, Bobby Wood Jr., is he not? I know the first series or so, people were like, oh, he's getting off to a little bit of a slow start. Can we all admit that, one, he was always going to be fine, but he's heating up. What he did on Saturday and Sunday, now he's about to get on a hot streak here already to still be the start of this season. Because that what we saw Saturday and Sunday, that was the Bobby Wood Jr. we were seeing in July and in August.
What do you mean, like
September,
a triple-double and single in the first 3 at-bats of a game?
Yeah, people were like considering live betting a cycle for him in the fourth inning. He was 20-1 to do that. He did not do that. But
in the
fourth inning, he was 20-1 in the fourth inning.
What were you getting before the game, you know?
Oh, probably 60, woo! 80.
Yeah,
to one.
They still know it's a long shot. If he was short the single, the odds probably have been a little bit different.
Sure.
Than short a homer. Yeah, this all just goes back to the same thing about anybody and panicking. Like, the reason why I'm more concerned about guys that are bad, like Renfro and MJ, because, like, they look lost at the plate. Bobby never looked lost at the plate, so I didn't care. He's still getting on base at a .366 clip, and, yeah, he just showed you why he's Bobby Witt Jr. He had a triple, single, and double in the first 4 innings of a baseball game. And he made a great defensive play against the other shortstop that he's better than in the first inning of that game. And the guy who he seemingly regularly plays great in games against Gunnar Henderson just to like prove he's better than Gunnar Henderson. Well, what it is. In playoff series and regular series, he's just constantly showing
he's
up
just better than him. Yeah. And Gunnar's a hell of a player.
Yeah, he's a great player.
But Bobby's just better. And and there was for early June last year, heading into the All-Star game as well, that was something that people were still strongly debating. And he's, to me, I would say almost ended that conversation already. Mm-hmm. And Gunnar Henderson still one of the best players, obviously, in the league. But no, Bobby Wood Jr. is a top two player in baseball.
It's a little bit like, I mean, honestly, the direct comparison, unfortunately for Baltimore, is like what it's like to have Lamar Jackson. I'm sure it's great to have Lamar Jackson 98% of the time. I bet it's great to have Lamar Jackson as your quarterback in almost every other conceivable circumstance, except when the other team's quarterback is Mahomes, then you're just kind of like stuck and you don't really have much of a choice. And so like when it lays out that way, you're just kind of screwed. But yeah, I'm happy to see Bobby get going because they're more likely to win games here early. If Vinny is getting sack flies like Vinny does, putting guys at home, Bobby's hitting, like the path to their offense is looking a little more traditional.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to the national title game and how we got this matchup. And in historical fashion is how we got it. And it'll be, of course, Florida and Houston. But thinking of Bobby, we mentioned during What's Trending the contract that Vlad Guerrero Jr. just got. 14 Woo. Years, $500 million to stay with the Toronto Blue Jays organization. And they got that done overnight, according to Jeff Passan. So you see that dollar amount. We know what Bobby got. And every time, and this happens, you're given the football comp before. Happens in football, too.
Oh, yeah.
You get the deal done early enough with the right player, and all of a sudden, that mega deal you gave Bobby Wood Jr., looks better and better. And add this contract for Vlad Guerrero Jr., who's also a sensational player.
Bobby's like a steal.
It had to happen in Kansas City too. You know what I mean? Like that deal, the Royals are one of the 10 organizations that if you want to keep a star player like that, you have to get out in front of it early. You also takes
and
buy-in.
He can still opt out in 2031.
He can, but at least we're not worrying about it for another 6 years, you know? And that's why I still say, last year in the postseason run, and as we sit here today, you can appreciate and enjoy watching Bobby Wood Jr. play so much more lax and like truly appreciated because you're not worried that, oh, he could get traded tomorrow or that they have to move on from him in a year because of the contract. You know that you get to watch the prime of Bobby Wood Jr.'s career.
I can't even imagine the stress we would be feeling right now watching these contract numbers hit, like Vlad Guerrero Jr. for $500 million. What is Bobby Wood Jr.'s open market price? It's better than Juan Soto's, right? Or it's comparable?
Maybe comparable.
$700 million-ish?
It's north of $650, probably.
I think it's probably close to Juan Soto's because he plays a more premium position. So I think it's like Juan Soto's number or maybe a hair higher. So $700 million is what his open market price is. Look, I'll be honest. The more these numbers go up, if you want Bobby Wood Jr. to stay in 2031... I believe that opt-out will be coming his way. I do not think he will be accepting $35 million a year in 2031. I think you'll have to tear that thing up, sign him to long
6 years
contract.
From now. You know, that's the thing. 6 years from now.
I don't have to worry about it. The Vlad Guerrero Jr. one, is that going to work? Like, I guess, good for you for not letting him hit the open market because everyone's worth more if every single team is bidding. We saw that in, like we mentioned, Juan Soto's case. But do we... God, is that well money well spent? $500 million for Vlad Guerrero Jr.? I guess what's the matter? There's no salary cap.
He says, what's the matter?
What's the difference? You know, when you're the Toronto Blue Jays always impress me because they will spend whatever.
Well, Toronto's a major market. I mean, it's a huge market. We forget about that. I mean, it's a huge market with 3 million people in the...
And he had a career year last year, which certainly is not the worst time to try to go get paid. Have all the homers, all the batting average, have every stat conceivable to help guide you. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can really complain about the price. I just always wonder, like with contracts of that size, you can never really get your value, right? Like Bobby Witt, they got a good chance. Now, but at least Vlad Guerrero is 26. Like, I think that there's an age part of this too. Juan Soto's even younger than that, isn't he? That's why Juan Soto got so much. And that's why Bobby would get
so much.
The Blue
Jays payroll this year, adjusted payroll this year, is $243 million. According to SpotTrack.
So they're not afraid to spend it yourself.
That's the adjusted payroll. Like last year, what was the Blue Jays?
I don't know. They're probably like the top three payroll in
I mean, they're a major market. Also, you're in the AL East. You better be spending because if you look at what you're dealing with there. And I know Boston for a couple of years kind of took some time off of spending big money, but they just made up for it with the Crochet extension they gave. Obviously, the Alex Bregman deal, although I think there's an opt-out on that pretty early in that contract as well. But they're back to spending some money there. But like the Blue Jays last year, their adjusted payroll was $219 million. So.
Okay, so they're not against
Look, the Blue Jays are why Santander is not in Kansas City.
Yeah.
They gave him the extra year.
Which they're regretting after 9 games, but I don't think you regret it. I just mean if you had, you know. I'm going to follow Santander and Profar the entire year. I know the Royals
You can follow him. He's sitting on a couch somewhere.
I know, but I know the Royals made runs at both of those players. Profar's ass is done for at least 80 games and can't play in the postseason, so he wouldn't even be able to help you at the most crucial moment. And so far, Santander through 10 games is off to a slow start. I want to emphasize the 10-game part.
My guess is his numbers will look pretty good by the end of the year.
Yeah, probably. But he also was coming off a career year, again, worst time to pay somebody. They're coming off 40 home runs and hitting 300 when they're a career 260 hitter with like 25 home runs.
There's a reason the Royals were not going to go the additional year.
Smart.
They gave a very aggressive offer, it sounds like, and they weren't going to do what the Blue Jays were, though. So we'll see how that plays out.
Lost out on Soto, whoever else they had their mind on.
I think it was Soto. Yeah, I think it was. All right, up next, let's talk about tonight's national title game. How the heck did we end up with this matchup? If you went to bed early on Saturday, whatever, you still probably woke up Sunday trying to figure it out. That's coming up next right here on Cody.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gold.
We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 12 minutes or so. It's Cody and Gold. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Monday. Good start to the week, hopefully, for all of you. It's Alex Gold. It's Cody Tapp. It's Drew Nixon. Full show with you today. I must say, I know we don't talk about days off upcoming days off. Drew's off on Thursday, which is, I'm glad he's taking off. But the reason you gave us, the jokes are going to start flying on the text line, especially with the Blue Chew commercial starting up. Drew said, I'm taking off Thursday. Did he tell you the reason?
No, he did not tell.
Which is fine. Anybody can take off whatever.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah, take off days for whatever reason. The reason. You don't need a reason at all.
Exactly. But the reason he said is, I got some stuff to do around the apartment.
Okay.
It's like,
all right.
And the text line, immediately went to the Blue Chew. Immediately went to the Blue Chew. So I don't know. Stuff around the apartment.
Is this what he said on Friday?
I have some stuff to do. I have some stuff to take care of.
He's Why laughing. Are you being so weird about
that's
it?
That's what it was.
That's it's what not. It is. It's not that you have, like, I don't care if you have sheets to wash or you need to paint.
Yeah. It's not that. And I don't care if it's last night.
I don't care if it's.
Be you careful when you're
you
doing
that. You just want to stare blankly at the ceiling fan for 6 hours. I really don't care about the reason.
Yeah, it just was
it's
funny.
Just you being like so cagey
That's why the text line.
I don't actually think things are going on at the apartment. I think there's something else.
And that's why the text line was like,
like, are you just staying home all
day? I think
day?
He has a job interview. My official prediction.
You think he's leaving?
No, I think on Thursday he has a job interview during normal business hours.
Let's guess what Drew is doing on his day off.
I can promise you it is not that.
I doubt he's just cleaning.
That's exactly what somebody who had a job interview
I doubt he's just cleaning the apartment.
Cleaning is, I guess, part of the day. There's multiple festivities going on.
Festivities? See, you're making it even festivities.
So, all right, look, enjoy your day off. I hope
on Thursday we'll continue to recklessly speculate about what you're doing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's what we'll do for the whole 2 hours before Royals day game baseball. We'll just speculate on what it is. My prediction's job. He'd never tell us. Job. It's a job interview.
It is not.
You know,
right in the middle of the week. Right in the middle of the week.
It's hard. You know, can't interview at 8 o'clock at night.
No, no.
10 to 2. That's kind of prime interviewing hours if you think about it.
You know? Yeah, and on a day we have a shorter show as well.
I didn't realize that I had already planned this day off. And
you should
have
taken the Friday off. You screwed up.
Well, I was talking to my wife about that. I was like, you know, there's Royals game on, and she was like, I don't care.
Oh, wait, can I ask another personal question?
Sure.
Is your wife also taking care of things around the apartment the same day?
She also has off. Yes.
Hmm. Oh, nice.
Interesting.
A joint day off when you guys work opposite schedules is always nice.
Yes. Yeah. Very much so.
You know,
someone said I'm probably insulating the ceiling. No, I'm not doing that either.
Have the neighbors been quiet recently?
That's a medium.
That's a no. Yeah. That's a no. All right. Well, tonight you'll be staying up late as well as your neighbors because the national title game doesn't start till like 8 o'clock our time. How the heck did we get Florida and Houston? Honestly. Duke.
I don't know how we didn't get Duke. That's for sure.
What the heck happened? They made 2 field goals in the final 13 minutes, none in the final 3. We said the matchup going in should have been a fun game, great game. And for a while, it looked like Duke was just Houston was overmatched, right? That's what it looked like. And it was the number one offense against maybe one of the best defenses we've seen in a decade, if not more, in Houston. And there's definitely truth that for a team to only make 2 field goals in the final 13 minutes, clearly Houston's defense was elite. But
and
also,
they had the best defense in the league this year. So
but also, to only make 2 field goals in the final 13 minutes means you choked. It just does. Duke choked in that game when you had the best player in the country, a guy's going to be the number one overall draft pick in Cooper Flagg, who had a couple shots late, couldn't get him to fall. That's a choke job. It's considering the stage. National semifinal, it is one of the biggest choke jobs we've seen in sports. It really is.
I think the team plays a factor in it, as in, like, that you're Duke, right? If this was Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, that adds to the level of choke job because you have the history on your side. You're a big boy. You're not supposed to, like, be choking down the stretch towards the end of this. Cooper Flagg made several mistakes, including a foul that didn't need to be committed. I think the entire story, not the entire, but a huge chunk of the story is that Duke blew it. Like, they blew it. They were the best team in the country all year, honestly. They had the best player in the country. They got the number one overall pick in the upcoming NBA draft on their team. And at no point this postseason did you really fear for them. And then they had a comfortable lead in a Final Four game to go play for a national championship. And they scored, you said, 3 field goals?
Houston went on an 11-1
run. Final 13 minutes?
And look, Houston deserves credit, but 11-1 run over the last 1:14. And Houston had a technical foul during that. That's like...
How'd you only get the one?
That's the craziest part. Honestly, as much as we talk about the made field goals, when that technical foul happened because the player for Houston tried to swipe the ball while
7'2" wingspan
across the inbounds line, like you just can't do it. It's like a dumb play. And at that moment, even it looked like Kelvin Sampson. Everybody thought, oh, well, that's it. That's the nail in the coffin. And it wasn't. It's amazing. It's great for the Big 12 too, because they got a chance now. If you're Brett Yormark, the commissioner, to have 3 national titles from 3 different teams in your conference over a 5-year span. And one of them's a newcomer to the conference too. I mean, it's a great thing for the Big 12. I know we don't want to get too into the, like, why should I care kind of thing about a conference, not your own team, but the Big 12 is still trying. A lot of people thought the Big 12 was going to be
matter, actually.
The Big 12 thought it was going to be dead 5 years ago. And now, at least for basketball, it's one of the strongest. It has been. And for football, I actually think they put themselves in a position to be competitive, depending on what happens with the ACC, who had a dreadful year in basketball.
If you think about football. It, Baylor, Houston, TCU have all had national title appearances, while Texas and Texas A&M, who left the Big 12, have had 0.
Oh, yeah, TCU football, sure. Yeah.
Just combined. Like, those teams in Texas, if you were to say that 5 years ago before it happened, you'd be like, no way, Texas is bound to get to 1. They have not, and they sniffed it, but they didn't get there.
I think the way I view it is the Big 12, for the reasons you had pointed out, the Big 12 knew when they were going to stay alive, they had to be something. And they knew that they couldn't be the football powerhouse. Sorry, that was going to be the SEC. They couldn't even be like the stepsister in that regards, because that was always going to be the Big 10. Those two are going to own college football. And you don't get to have a say in it. You don't get a butt in eventually. There's no amount of like reconfiguring of your conference that's going to make you anything but, at best, third place in the football race. And so Brett Yormark, when he took over, as you pointed out, said, we're going to be the best basketball conference in the universe. And that's what they've attributed to. And like, by the way, putting even more context in it, the last 5 years, if Houston wins, they will have three of the champions. The other two are UConn. It's not like they're coming out of the SEC or the Big Ten or these other ones. That's just UConn won it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's not like they're coming out of the other conference. As a matter of fact, the SEC hasn't won a college basketball national championship. They could get one in Florida.
Since Florida.
Was it the back-to-back Florida team? With
Kentucky
Noah?
In 2012.
Right. No. There you go.
That is the last SEC men's basketball championship was Kentucky in 2012. The last one before that was Florida black back-to-back.
2007.
In 6-7. And so, like they don't have some like rich history of just winning all these national championships. If the Big 12 gets the better of you again, they'll have three of the last five. I mean, I could go back.
Yeah,
it's really all the other champions are like
the Big
12
and the Big East, honestly.
Yeah, Big East, ACC, right?
And Villanova had obviously the great run that they were
on. And then Virginia with the ACC over a Big 12 team in Texas Tech. I mean,
the SEC's been kind of cold.
Texas Tech made a national title in the last 5 years, and Texas hasn't even done that. Obviously, I know this is kind of railing on Texas, but essentially A&M as well. But, you know, the schools that have left, we're going to go to greener pastures.
Yeah, I do like
football,
watching them.
Sure.
What about tonight, though? Like, now that it is Florida and Houston, look, Walter Clayton Jr. is, I think, has been the best player to watch throughout the tournament. He was sensational also, of course, on Saturday, 34 points. He's why Florida won that game against Auburn.
He was so good. And then he had the play of the tournament
Yeah. And, you know, he's also the perfect example of just where we're at in college basketball. He was an Iona transfer. He comes in immediately and turns into one of the best players in the country almost immediately. And he, of course, if Florida wins tonight, will be the most outstanding player. I think it's very obvious.
Yeah.
And
good head start
for Houston. I assume it'll be LJ Cryer if Houston wins tonight as the most outstanding player of the tournament. Tonight's game, my question would be, can Houston, like Cooper Flagg late in that game, of course, didn't score. Can Houston shut down or slow down enough Walter Clayton Jr.?
They've got the defense to do it.
I think they do. Yeah. That's why, like, who do I want to win? I want Houston to win. But it's tough because, like, I actually think they're both very likable teams, like super likable teams. I mentioned Clayton. I think Houston can slow down Walter Clayton Jr. So if that happens, does Elijah Martin do enough there for
Florida?
If you
slow down Clayton Jr., then I think you win the game.
That's the thing.
Like, if you're making me predict, if it's just down to that, then I probably think it. Look, I chose Florida to win it, but I mean,
stick with it.
I didn't put that much, like, I wasn't like digging into every possible spreadsheet in order to do it. It's just a team that I thought was playing really well in there. The one thing I think will be true about this is Houston plays really good defense, which is true. But as a result of that, they get in some like close final 3 minutes. You better hope Florida doesn't make a couple of shots even against your good defense. I would look if by a hair. What's it? 1 point or whatever the game tonight. I would choose. I will predict Florida to win tonight, but with no air of confidence. I honestly think we'll probably get a really good national championship game, which is nice because we got two good semifinal games.
No doubt.
To go with it, which strengthens the end of the tournament. I still got some complaints about the early end, but
this was the payoff we hoped for, right?
Yeah, you hope that if you don't like the rest of the tournament, if you got good teams left, at least you're going to get good games.
Yeah.
So, like, more than anything tonight, I hope that we get a really good national championship game.
It'll be interesting to see how Florida's size, if that's a problem for Houston, because size-wise, you know, Javon Roberts is like 6'9". You know, he's tough and he's a great rebounder. They didn't do too bad against Maliwak. Maliwak didn't even have a rebound in that game, by the way. 7'2", didn't have one rebound. So it'll be interesting to see Florida and with Condon and Haug and those guys to see if Houston can match up well or if Condon, they try to make it a point to utilize his size a little bit.
random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, the random question of the day is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week, and then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. Question I have for you today is regarding the conversation we had earlier about how poorly dance went for me on Saturday with Desmond. If you missed that story earlier,
unbelievable.
Go back in the 10:30 segment and you'll hear it. There was a bathroom problems for my younger son, and it led to a mess of a situation that has resolved. So the question I have today is, I've learned a valuable lesson. So for this trip, like, you know, like I brought my son's Nintendo. He had headphones and, you know, we had snacks and I had Band-Aids. I thought I had all this stuff I needed. I was wrong.
Turned out you missed a few things.
I was wrong. I did not have enough stuff. And due to that, I did not have enough to prevent my problem from happening. So the question I have for you today is, what are the things you pack that are every time essentials for like a trip are not the standard things, right? I don't want you to say belt or shoes or hat. Just the things that because of something happened or because your mom taught you. I don't care what it is. I will never leave. My kids could be 40. I don't know that I'll ever leave the house again without baby wipes. For the rest of my life, I don't think I'll leave the house. If I got a bag that I'm toting some additional stuff in, they're coming. They're living in the car. I don't care. I don't care. Yeah. But like that's on the list.
Yeah.
For sure. I do pack Band-Aids. Almost everywhere I go in a suitcase, I bring like nail clippers and Band-Aids. I always feel like I regret not having nail clippers.
Yeah, other than the standard stuff for me, it's just like the just in case. So I Band-Aids, but also I always pack like a leave, well, especially now maybe.
Oh, you always,
I always pack a leave.
That's right.
A leave.
Now with your back pain, you're screwed. Yeah,
a leave and, oh my gosh. Oh, Tums. I always pack Tums at a leave.
Should I be packing Tums? I don't pack Tums every
just
time.
Just in case. You never know.
Yes, so
you
fast.
You never know if you go on a trip, you have dinner, and all of it just doesn't hit you right. And so you don't want to be uncomfortable on your trip. Now, look, can you go and get Tums easily? Sure. But like, if you're in a city, if you're in Vegas, for example,
you don't want to pay the hotel price.
And it's just not easy to get it necessarily anywhere.
The one time in Vegas, someone gave us some free Tums, some free
those
chewable
Tums.
Cody.
Don't
you remember those?
Those weren't Tums.
They were offering free.
Did you take them as if they were?
I know which one he's talking about.
We were walking up to Circa. That was from a hotel.
They were offering you some Blue Chew.
Not on the street.
Okay. Not on the street.
Those weren't Tums. If you were offering them
it
on the street,
inside the hotel.
In the hotel from someone that works.
I'm right there with Gold. I bring Tums because I don't know if it would have saved Desmond's situation, but Tums certainly might have.
Not going to solve that problem.
It might have alleviated some of the issue, but yeah. So this isn't necessarily a experience thing, but I've witnessed my brother, sister have stomach ache issues, and it's like, yeah, I'm bringing Tums. You know, I'm not getting sick over some food, or you know, if the acidity from the amount of soda that I drink hits at a certain amount of time, and you're like, my stomach
the acidity
feels terrible.
Of the soda.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Look, when you drink Code Red as much as I do, it turns into a problem eventually.
Yeah, your intestines are lined with Code Red.
From the 913 in the winter, I always pack a flashlight and matches.
Somebody says no matter what.
A flashlight makes sense in terms of like
I have my phone flashlight.
I didn't grow up in this, but my wife grew up in every car has a blanket in it family. So like
our cars now have blankets in them.
As like even like in the dead of summer, it does not matter.
But like,
there's always a blanket in our cars. Yeah.
I guess that if you're going on a road trip too, but you're talking, I was thinking more like you're getting on a flight, you're going to stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
What do you need? Someone said, Q-tips. Really? You can't just,
right before I go.
Yeah. You
it's
need
like
it on
shaving.
The trip.
I don't want to bring a razor and shaving cream. I shave right before we go. I'm not trying to pack the razor, pack the shaving cream. I'm trying to lighten that load a little bit.
Yeah,
so I don't
if you know
knows.
You're only going to be somewhere for like 2 or 3 days, then you hope you can avoid having to shave again. So you shave before.
I do. For some reason, so when we went to Vegas, like I shaved before we left, but I still brought
no, I don't bring it
anyways.
You won't bring it at all?
I will shave before.
But
there's no shaving emergency. If I shaved, the problem is solved.
No, but we also talk about this. Like you're lucky. Your facial hair doesn't grow back 2 days later.
Look, if I'm going to be gone 2 weeks, I'd bring it.
Yeah.
But like any trip less than a week, I'll just look scraggly by the time the end of the week takes place.
Yeah. Like, someone says Dramamine.
Everyone mentioning their vape.
A lot of people mentioning that. Someone mentioning condoms. Okay. And then someone says Cottonelle wet wipes are a must everywhere they go.
I was trying to decide. I borrowed it twice this weekend at the dance thing. One of the dads that I'm good friends with his name's Steven, doesn't really matter, but he carries a pocket knife no matter what. All circumstances. Okay. And it came in handy twice this week. I'm like, hey, man, let me see your knife. Because I know he's got it. I'm like, should I be carrying a pocket knife all the time? Is everyone else, are we carrying pocket knives? Is that a thing? Have you guys ever carried a pocket knife?
I've never.
Hang on, so, so you're saying, should you start, whenever you go to Colorado, should you just have a pocket knife with you?
I bring a knife if I'm going to Colorado, but that's slightly different because we end up like an off-grid cabin.
Well,
like,
I was going to say, if there's anything that you could potentially need where different. You're not able to just access it easily. It probably depends on where you're going, I guess, but.
And we carve our initials into a tree and stuff. So like I typically bring those things with me, but that's it. Like I don't do that.
Someone said they always have a lighter anywhere they go, and potentially for the same reason.
I do like those like crank flashlights or radios, the ones where you can, Well, you don't want to get stuck with batteries or they leak and batteries corrode. Like you don't want to deal with all that.
Some of these text messages, you guys are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Or just trying to play around.
Yeah, that one's not real.
Someone says beer my wife, she's got it all. So he's the one who just like I don't do any packing for the trip. She just makes, and like everyone's got a different relationship dynamic. I like packing my own stuff.
I do.
I like to make sure I have the stuff I want.
I am always the one though to forget. If there's something like my wife will say, hey, don't forget this. Like the night before, like set a reminder to do it. I'll say, yeah, sure. I don't set the reminder. Well, you leave. Crap. 20 minutes in. I'm not turning around. Sorry. I forgot. Blank. We're going to get one whenever we get there. It's fine.
A lot of people who carry a pocket knife.
913-586-7965.
Nail clippers actually an underrated one, Cody. That's a good one.
Now a lot of people offended that I'm carving.
Yeah, you destroy nature. Is that what you said? You destroy the trees in the wilderness.
I want to be clear. It is not just a tap family tradition. So the property backs up to a national forest.
So technically, you do it from a national forest. Now you're destroying.
Oh no,
I think that's a crime. You can't be destroying the trees
coming after you.
That's for forest fires. trees, not in that way. There's a really popular like part of the trailhead that like. A lot of people carve the names in there. So there's ones like we carved their names. Like I've got like my initials next to like 1992 or like, unfortunately for some of my siblings, old girlfriends or whatever, all kind of spread throughout. And so, most of the time we go on the trip, we hike down there and I carve my name in. I've probably done it. I don't know, 10 times probably over the years.
This person said, I feel naked if I don't have a pocket knife. You recognize it, that you have it around that much. That if you don't have it feels like
you carry them all the time. Man. You know, the people who carry them, I mean, it really is consistent. The only time I think I broke the law, because it seems like the Forestry Service has let go of this carving your initials.
What have you been doing?
No, nothing.
Have you been doing?
My wife and I once carved.
What goes on at the cabin?
Nothing. My wife and I once carved our initials in a tree, and I was there on a trip without her. I took my nephew for his like senior trip. And so we were walking down and I was like, oh, I'll try to find the tree and I'll take a picture and I'll send it back to my wife. Look at this. The tree we had chosen had died. It was dead. It was dying.
Oh, it was?
It was dying. So I took it back to the cabin and then brought the log home and then like sealed it and like gave it to her again and used the rest as firewood. So like, you know,
so
I was reusing it for resources. So maybe I technically stole a tree from a national forest, but I don't think that they care about that. It was dead anyway.
This person.
I was actually doing deforesting work.
You're preventing a future fire. Okay.
Smokey the Bear,
That doesn't happen enough. You know.
I was doing fire prevention. If you think about it.
This person says they always have spray sanitizer for the toilet seats, like in the rest area or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I told you. I've on a road trip once. There's outside of Dallas the most disgusting restroom I've ever seen in my life. It looked like there was a murder scene.
That's why you go to a Love's?
It was awful. This was like a middle of nowhere Texas many many years ago. Yeah, normally if you can, Drew, but sometimes, man, whether it's for gas or you got to go and you're in the middle of nowhere, there's just this crappy old school gas station. The bathroom's out, around back outside.
You got to get a key sometimes.
And
then
it's one door and like.
You're talking about a number two?
You're just, maybe, but like you're, there's a rare time where truly you're better off in that bathroom not washing your hands because you don't want to touch anything. Like, I'm not even, like normally it's.
Hover above like the door.
That's one of those there was something happened.
You
in
walk
there.
Out the door like this?
Yeah, like you're better not touching anything, and including the sink.
You're finding a way to get your shoe to open the door, you know?
Yeah, and then you feel you need to clean your shoe the next week. Yes.
Someone's really mad about the trees.
What a great Mother's Day gift, Cody.
They do go back like really far. Like you can see some from like the teens, like 1912 and like People do this a really long time. It's not like my family just decided to desecrate this one part of the forest.
I suggest when you're near the redwoods in California next month, I suggest you don't carve into those cones.
Yeah, that would not be wise. I would suggest
that you don't do that.
That is a that specific place.
That is the random question of the day. someone said, did your son go to that restroom? Oh, that's mean. That's mean. You have to go back and listen.
He seems to be feeling better yesterday.
That felt good this morning.
Very good. Yeah.
Life's okay.
Up next, let's get back into some Royals baseball. One player that is earning himself more playing time, even if he's played in 9 games, we're talking about being in the lineup on a regular basis. That's coming up next right here on Cody and Gold.